Hello and welcome back to RMU Chat, RMU Radio's premier talk show. With me today, my name is Malik Johnson. I am very distracted right now. There are a lot of things going on. I don't understand why. But with me today, we have a returning crew. Sam the Man Anthony.
Oh, I got first intro. Take that, Rashad.
Mike
just
Evans.
The show. Hi. I'm here.
And Rashad Christian. And
save the best for last. Thank you very much.
Last definitely least, in my
opinion.
Who is
still on Snapchat.
No, I'm texting
someone. Yeah, maybe
someone.
If you were dedicated to the show like I am.
I'm texting someone a link to the shows we've done.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
All right.
They're
Rashad, you know
what?
Yeah.
I bring the views to us. Okay.
Very I bring the views to us with my beautiful face.
The 10 views we get on YouTube per episode are because of me.
That's true. My mom doesn't even watch.
Exactly.
I thought you guys were talking about this show and not Sports Talking the Berg, and I was like, there are four archived episodes from this year.
Yeah.
Sean, right. You know what helps a lot with clarity in speaking? Keeping your mic on the table.
No.
Yeah, see, you'll never be a radio guy.
No, it's because you took my seat.
It's a shame you have a face for radio, though.
The face for radio.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man, that's just mean.
All right, Malik, start us off here. What are we talking about?
All right, guys, if you've never tuned in to RMU Chat and you somehow found us through some means of social media or something,
Reddit.
We each have a topic, we sit, we talk. For about 15 minutes a piece, and we have cool music that does things in between those topics.
I was digging the intro
fancy.
Music.
It oh, the nice. Intro music is old. I actually have a new commercials music, so I'm really excited to play
Ooh.
That.
Ooh, fun.
Can you actually hear me?
I should be able to hear you. Talk.
See, it's weird because like the mic is too far away from me, and I like sitting.
You gotta,
I like laying back.
You gotta like sit up. This is.
Hey,
this
just,
is a professional
who
environment.
I'm gonna hold it like
and
this.
And yelled, like, "I call sitting next to Malik," and now you're telling me I stole your spot.
Well. Malik, start the show.
All right, guys.
I don't want to talk to Sam
first
anymore.
Topic, we're going to have Mike go.
Ooh,
what?
Mike
oh,
has
we're
going to
talk. All yeah, right, Mike so if you guys don't know, I'm a huge nerd, so we're going to
wait,
through.
What?
Oh, boy.
The pasty white guy's a nerd?
Oh, man. Whoa. So rude. But now that we're almost done with the first month of 2017.
One more week to go.
Want to talk about your favorite games from 2016. What do you guys got?
I didn't really play any new games from 2016 other than 2K17 and Pokemon Sun and Moon.
Spike Lee joint. Is that the Spike Lee joint?
That's 16.
Oh, never mind.
16 was like, Spike Lee is such a horrible director. I don't like him.
You don't like Spike Lee?
No, especially when he dabbles in video games. And it's just like, come on, yo. Like, stay out of it.
Most movie producers do not make good game producers.
No, he's like he's a director.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
Same thing, though.
Yeah.
So the game I played, because I'm like with Rashad, the only game I invested in was new Madden 17.
Pretty
Rob
good
Gronkowski
game.
On the cover. Really good. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed, like, the overall look of it was better. The way the franchise was better. There were so many new aspects to it. It was awesome. I always loved the gameplay. I'm a huge, you know, proponent of... Because one thing that I've always had a problem with in Madden is you can't... There's no good run game. And so the game's entirely built on people just throwing Hail Marys.
I beg to differ. I think Madden 16 was one of the best running games. I think 17, they definitely destroyed it. But I think 16 had, like, it wasn't so overpowered that you could run every time.
You know what I didn't like
down?
About 16, though?
What?
Was there was, like, the, like, layout for a catch button if you hit triangle.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, these guys would make ridiculous catches that you knew they wouldn't make in real life. You were like, and that's the whole point of the game.
It's,
it's trying
it's
to be as realistic
it's
as possible.
It's supposed to be kind of like a simulator.
Exactly.
Your favorite
and if,
football
like,
team.
You have some no-name guy, like, in double coverage, like laying out with a one-handed grab, you're like, no. I watched the AFC Championship game. I watched Kobe Hamilton let balls go in between his arms. This is not realistic.
Yeah, and it's like I hated those 50-50 balls where like the animation is that both players, the corner and the receiver, had their hands on the ball. And it's like, I mean, clearly the cornerback got to it first, and then the receiver comes out with a 70-yard catch, and just like, okay, well, I quit
and you know
now.
What? I live that game based on, like, you should be, if you're the smarter player, you should win. If you know how to run certain coverages and certain routes that outsmart the other guy, you should be able to win the game. And that should be the skill of it, is the coordination of what you can do on the field and what the plays you call. And if it's just some guy, like, because did you ever have that friend you played as kids?
Oh, yeah, just
that
threw
would just,
Hail Marys?
Hail Marys, and, like, he'd score 42 points on you because, like, eventually one would land, or he had, like, Calvin Johnson as his wide receiver, and you were like, this is stupid.
Yeah, or you end up like me and, like, your friend and or cousin would just get the punt return off of you and just run it back every time. So like it just be punt returns the entire game.
That's become harder to do with every single Madden. I felt like the ones on last gen. Yeah, I'm definitely okay with it. Ones on last gen, you could just pick up Devin Hester or Josh Cribbs and then just run back almost every kickoff.
You know, I found this hack once, and there was this old ESPN football game. And if you just ran sideways back and forth, and if you did it for like a minute, eventually you would just be able to run right to the right side of the field and just run the sideline all the way back. And so like it would look really dumb because you'd just be going back and forth, and be like, what are you doing? And then you just touchdown, baby.
It's the way like the AI worked, like the mapping for the NPCs.
It's really, to me, as someone who's probably played every Madden game since like Madden 04, to see like those kind of games develop because you get that yearly product is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the stuff you can do.
So I'm going to ask you guys, since you're both sports guys, obviously, like you're playing sports games, would you prefer paying the full value for a new game every year or just like pay for a roster update from one of the old ones?
I would so much rather pay for a roster update from the old ones if they kept doing it. If there was like I don't buy the new one every year because of the fact that that's $60 every year I have to invest in a game.
Mm-hmm.
And typically year to year, you don't see like huge exponential improvements. So like for me, I'm like an every 2 or 3 year kind of guy. Like 1 year I'll buy the new NHL game. One year I'll buy new Madden. Mm-hmm. I used to buy NCAA football until they stopped making that, and I'm still bitter.
They should bring it back.
They should, but there's a whole bunch of lawsuit stuff that has to be worked out. So, but yeah, so like that's how I feel. And yeah, if I could just go like 3 years and just like, if they told me, hey, you have to pay $30 and all the rosters, all the overalls are moved up, but it's, you know, an alternate to buying another $60 game, I'd do it.
Yeah, that's the thing I do with NBA 2K16. Like, I played 17, but I don't own it. Like, I just play it off my friend's system. And what 16 does, you can download rosters, and it's completely free. And you'll just have these official 2K rosters from the next year on your last year's game. And it'll be the same game pretty much, because 16 and 17 aren't really different besides maybe the shot meter or rosters, and that's about it.
Yeah, there's not like a whole big difference that you can do with like control schemes and stuff like that. So I see, like, I'm surprised. I didn't know that NBA actually had that option in it in 2K16.
Oh, yeah, you can just download any roster you want.
Yeah, that's actually pretty nice.
People make their own rosters too, so you can have like all-time rosters with the legends and Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley and all that stuff. Players who aren't normally in the games because they don't want to be put into the games, but
So we have a special guest here, the backup kicker for Robert Morris Football, William Kirsch.
Hi, William Kirsch.
Oh, this guy is known for stealing my mic during a live broadcast.
As he is now.
Anything for a good joke?
Yeah.
Nobody thought it was funny.
I laughed inside.
Well, I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I thought it was a little funny.
It's all good.
I teared up on the inside a little bit. It was that funny.
We heard you guys in Rome.
Wait, we're in Romo's.
Are we actually in Romo's right now?
Really?
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay. God.
I didn't know this.
Oh, man. I got to watch my language.
Hello, Romo's.
Oh, boy. You down there in Romo's. Get the Romo's Chicken Club.
All right. So is there anything you want to say to your fans down in Romo's?
Anybody in Romo's?
No more autographs, please. I don't have time.
Aw.
So, I mean, you got big shoes to fill next year of Connor Shannon. I mean, I see him draining, you know, 40, 50-yard kicks at practice.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, you gonna leave us, Kirsch?
I like this conversation they're having on the air.
All right, well, right now the future of Robert Morris kicking is unclear. So we'll leave it at that. Thanks so much for the visit, guys.
Thank you. Have a good time.
Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Bye. And the door is closed. Okay, anybody in Romo's, if you are nice enough, can you buy me a blue Gatorade and a bag of barbecue sunflower seeds and bring it to the radio room, please?
You know where we are. Please
all come. Right, guys, we're going to go to break. I'm pretty sure this topic is over.
No.
If you give us a few seconds.
Okay.
If you give us a few seconds, I'll let you guys know off the air. We'll be back. When we come back, Sam, do you have a topic?
I do have a topic.
All right, give us a tease.
Boy. All right, we're going to school spirit.
School spirit.
That is my topic.
All
right.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Oh, no.
We'll figure out what that means when we come back.
And welcome back to RMU Chat.
Hi, Romans.
RMU Radio's premiere.
Beautiful talk people show. From Morris University.
We found out last segment that we are actually live in Romos, so
yeah.
Hi, Romos.
We'll watch our language for you guys down there.
You probably should have been watching your language beforehand.
Yeah.
Mike made a motion to me, and I don't know what it means.
I don't know about anybody else, but I can't hear anything currently.
Uh-oh.
That's just you.
That's just you. That might be you.
Yeah,
mic.
I'm bad.
Can you hear it?
Yeah, we're good now.
Okay. Right.
See, I just plugged it in. Right. I'm a good guy.
So, Sam, right. School spirit.
All right, so I'm going to stand up for this topic.
Oh, God. Sam is standing
up. I feel very strongly about this.
Okay. All right.
So, for me, I'm at every RMU athletic event pretty much. I mean, heck, yeah. I'm going to men's lacrosse.
Yeah, you really are.
Yeah.
So, and Mike would know because he's there taking pictures of all these events.
Right.
And to me, you know, what really bothers me is that even though, like, some of our athletics teams aren't phenomenal this year, we have Division I teams that compete at the highest level of college sports.
Right.
But yet, when it comes to fan attendance, fan spirit, it disappoints me. Football games, you have people that show up for the first half, get their free pizza, and leave. Robert Morris basketball, you usually get a big showing for the Meet the Colonials and the first game. Meet the Colonials because there's free food, free shirt, or whatever.
Yep.
And then, I see plenty of people go to those giveaways, get the giveaway, and then leave. And to me, like, if you're a big sports guy, like, show some support for your school. Let's talk women's hockey, because those girls are phenomenal.
They're ridiculous. That's crazy.
I got to meet one the other day. Yeah. They're really nice.
They're good people, you know, and the thing is, it's such a small school that you probably have class with all these athletes.
I do. One of them walked into my intro to accounting class.
She exactly. Isaiah still. Like, so why don't we support our classmates, our friends, you know? Why can't we go out there and just, you know, see something special? I mean, Robert Morris women's hockey, there was an article in Pittsburgh Magazine about Brittany Howard and how Robert Morris women's hockey could win a national title. I mean, we may never see that again. I'm going to be here for another 2 years.
Yeah.
And I really doubt I'm going to see another team that has a chance to win a national title at Robert Morris University because it's so competitive. And yet, when you go to a women's hockey game, the only one that had a huge turnout was that Skate for the Cure, which was really fun.
For a good reason.
And that made me really happy. You had all the athletes coming out supporting each other. That bear toss was incredible. I love looking at that clip of that.
I was afraid it wasn't going to happen during the game.
I know. I was like, this is going to be the one game we get shut out. Like, we'd score like 3-4 goals normally. So, like, why can't there be more stuff like that? Why can't, you know, we all go out and support each other and support, like, really great athletics?
I think with women's ice hockey, ice hockey specifically, the fact that the island is so far away is a big thing.
See, and that's the thing. It's like, less than 10-minute ride there? It's a short ride.
But it's not something you'd want to walk to.
You can't walk there. You could definitely walk it. You wouldn't want to.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to walk that. No. But the problem with that is that we can't – if we move ice hockey here – because everyone's, like, all upset with the new event center. You know, why didn't we bring hockey here? Because there's so many more aspects to that. Because to get a new ice hockey arena there, we would have to sell the island because we can't get a new hockey arena and keep the island. And you have to think about all the stuff you can do with the island, the free ice skating, the mini golf, like the facilities for other athletes, like rowing, you know?
Yep. Maybe not just sell it or move it on campus, but like just a shuttle that goes to the island would probably help. Because like none of us on the show have cars.
Yep.
We are all dependent on rides.
That's true.
Here's the thing is – they want to have shuttles to all these games, but they can't find enough student interest to show that they would be able
Chicken and the egg.
Yeah. So, like, if students really showed that they were like, hey, if you have a shuttle going to the games on Friday and Saturday, we're going to go. We're going to go out and support them. Then, by golly, they're going to have a shuttle because that means people there buying tickets, buying food, buying merchandise, you know, going to the giveaways.
Mm-hmm.
But there hasn't been that show of student interest.
All right.
Do you think it's going to be – because presumably and hopefully they're going to have a shuttle to PPG Paints.
Because, like, I'm not driving down to downtown.
I mean, the last time I took the shuttle was for the Duquesne game, and that was rough, especially with traffic and the weather and everything.
That's the struggle is they don't anticipate the fact that if you're going down for a 7 o'clock game at 5 o'clock, you're getting that Pittsburgh traffic.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're not getting there till like 7:30.
Exactly. So,
and then, you know, people – the other thing that really bothers me here is everyone – it's kind of, one, nobody understands Title IX. It's not an NCAA rule. It's an actual law.
Yeah.
But two, everyone thinks, like, it's a Title IX violation that the women's volleyball and basketball team are not playing at PPG Paints next year. You don't think the school would want them to? Like, come on. Like, it's just what we could do with, and I don't know any details about whether we paid, whether we made some sort of deal with them.
Yeah.
But I guarantee you the school tried to say, hey, is there any chance we can get volleyball to go down there for a match, or women's basketball, at least for a couple games?
Yeah.
And I think it just didn't happen.
Was the full list of donators released besides, like, UPMC?
I think there was a list in the press release. I don't know if that was the, like, full list,
the
but
full
I would
comprehensive
assume so.
List. Because yeah. I'd assume PPG probably had a hand in it, if especially if UPMC did, and now we're playing it PPG paints.
That makes sense.
That was definitely part of the deal. Was they one? That's why the rec center is getting built so quickly, is because they needed a place for women's volleyball and women's basketball to go. But two, they weren't going to announce this and start building until they knew they had somewhere for men's basketball to go.
Right.
So, like, that's what's so incredible about everything happening the way it did is all the things that had to come together. You know. And it did take a long time. I interviewed Coach Charlie Biscaglia,
yeah.
And he said 991 days. That's how long it took. He said countless meetings that they sat in there, and they had to coordinate. You know, one, when they designed these facilities, they had to have it so it accommodated everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just – I'm very excited. I'm excited that I get to experience this new arena, and I hope that this new arena does bring some spirit, that people are going to come out to the games and come see these new facilities. I mean, we haven't had new facilities here since 1985. That's how old Sewell is.
Wow.
I'm hoping that
I'm going to play devil's advocate. I think UPMC probably should have waited, and the rec center too. I think we need more dorms. I think we have a lot more things that we need to worry about than the sports teams.
Yeah,
and the sports teams are Division I, but we're not like Duquesne basketball. We're not like pulling in large crowds, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, like, you go on any ticket site and you can buy Duquesne tickets. You don't go on and buy Robert Morris tickets because we don't have enough reach.
Right.
But I think that what you're seeing with this new event center, one, is you're going to start getting pull from away from Duquesne, away from Pitt, not only, like, students, but probably some athletes from Duquesne, too. Some athletes that maybe were bench players on Duquesne are going to come and be impact players for Robert Morris basketball. And that's going to start the rise up into relevancy there. And when you see that program grow, you see Robert Morris basketball potentially moving up in conference, you're going to see just like overall, like the energy of the school increase. And I think that in the long term, you're going to be able to see more benefits from like a new dorm room and stuff when that comes along. I think that I like to believe that President Howard and the rest of the administration has a plan, because it's clear there's a need for dorms, and you're right.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that like this is like a process that, you know,
there's a plan.
But here's the other thing that I've thought about too.
Yeah.
Is what's easier to get donors for?
That's
a brand fancy new stadium or dorm rooms?
Yeah, like nobody wants to live in the UPMC dorm, but everybody wants to go to the UPMC arena.
So I promise you that they have been trying to get dorm rooms, but
I would like to move on campus and out of Braddock.
Yeah,
I would like to not pay the extra $1,000 to live in Yorktown next semester.
Yeah, can we discuss that? Like, why? So I know you get your own bathroom. That's great.
Yep.
But like, there's also, like, there's gives and takes, with Yorktown.
You assume shuttle cost and the calf.
The thing is, Braddock is less expensive, and it has a shuttle.
Braddock is the least expensive.
But it doesn't have a calf.
That is true.
Really? How much cheaper is it than, like, regular traditional dorms?
Oh, boy.
It's, like, what, $100 or $200 cheaper or something?
Than the standard dorms on campus.
I guess that makes sense, because, like, you guys don't, like, we were talking about earlier.
We get the bare minimum of what a dorm room should be. Like, we have a bathroom. But we share it with the next room to us, and it's only a toilet and a sink. Yeah. We have to go down the hall for the showers, and, I mean, we're off campus, and we have to take a shuttle. If you don't have a car, we don't have anywhere to eat there, so it's just like...
See, that right there would kill me.
I'd
probably be there
the hardest
11:30.
Part is food.
All I want is a cheeseburger or something. I don't know.
Yeah, because, like, you don't want to walk down to Burger King or to Giant Eagle every day, because not Giant Eagle, you're dealing with grocery shopping. You just want a quick snack, you know?
Well, plus, like, you also just want to spend your Freedom Card money.
Right.
Like,
nobody has real money.
That's true. Yeah. I think I have $2 in my wallet right now.
Like, cash?
I have $17 in my wallet that's going to last me the rest of the semester, and it's sure not going to Giant Eagle.
Sam, that is a lot of cards in your wallet.
Yeah, and some of them like are old and don't work anymore.
Sam has pulled out a
debit cards or
two-inch
cards.
I have a paint sample.
Oh, nice.
The paint sample is called Emotional. So
let it be known that if you need paint samples, Sam Anthony can hook you up.
I can also paint your house. So
yes, he has experience.
I was a college pro painter. Fun fact.
He may be an on-air talent now, but he used to be a painter in his heyday.
How the mighty have fallen.
All right, guys. We're going to take another break. When we get back, I'm going to go up. We're going to talk about alternative facts.
Lies.
Deceit.
When we come back, stay tuned to RMU Radio. Enjoy the new song that I put on the playlist.
Don't go away.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned, Ramos. But...
Welcome back, people.
That's my line, but thank you.
Oh,
I love how calm he is about it too. Like he's not gonna.
Yeah, no,
yell
he
at
doesn't
you.
Get mad.
He's got.
Well,
that,
I mean, he gets.
He's got
mad,
that radio
like,
attitude.
Yeah.
Yep. Everything's gonna. Everything will happen. But welcome back to RMU Radio. I'm your host, Malik Johnson. Sam the Man Anthony, Mike Evans, Rashad Christian.
We're gonna
all
make
here
that a thing,
me.
By the way. Sam the Man Anthony.
Sam the Man Anthony. I like it. It rhymes. It's if it rhymes, it works.
Yep.
We all need nicknames now.
All right. So we're gonna talk about. Alternative facts. We're all journalists in some way, shape, or form.
I like sports.
Photo journalism.
Sport management, baby. Here we
That's
go.
Still, you still tell facts, Frodo.
Kind of.
Sometimes.
Yep.
You can manipulate those facts so that they're alternative.
Generally, that's considered...
Off the air, I tell lies.
And I'm going to play you guys a clip, and we're going to talk about it. This came from NBC's Meet the Press. I don't know if I can actually play this legally on the radio, but I took it. But, yeah, I'm going to do it. Of why the president
asked that is not okay. Oh, we got some music in the back here. All right, we're That's jamming true. Here at RMU Chat.
You gonna restart the clip? And utter a falsehood. Yeah, I can Why did he do that? That? It undermines
I the question. I did you, answer
no,
your question.
No, you did not. You did
yes,
not answer
did.
The question of why the president asked the White House press secretary to come out in front of the podium for the first time and utter a falsehood. Why did he do that? It undermines the credibility of the entire White House press office
no, it
on
doesn't.
Day
don't
one.
Be so, don't be so overly dramatic about it, Chuck. What it, you're saying it's a falsehood, and they're giving
oh,
Sean
boy.
Spicer, our press secretary, gave alternative facts to that. But the point remains
Wait a minute. Alternative facts to the question.
I did
you,
answer
no,
your
you
question.
No, you did not.
I like how he laughs when she says alternative facts.
All right, guys.
Because it's such a joke.
that is a person of our government.
Yep.
Who just claimed alternative facts are okay.
These are the people that are running.
Can we talk about, like, what are alternative facts? I'm very upset about this.
I knew of all people, Sam is really passionate. Sam stands up when he talks on this show.
Yeah, you know what? He's standing up again. I'm irritated.
So I want to get Sam's impassioned opinion. How do you feel, Sam?
I'm upset, and I'm very upset. And you know why that is? Because I love America. America is great. And I want to think that we're the best country in the world. But here's the thing. If our government is lying, and the Meet the Press, whoever was saying that was right, that the first thing they did was utter falsehoods, and that looks terribly upon the entire White House and administration. And if you have your spokesperson coming out and saying it's alternative facts, what does that mean? It means lies. I'm just saying that's from our perspective. No, none of that. They weren't facts. You can't use the word fact when you're lying. And it bothers me on so many levels for what, like, it makes the entire administration stand for. And I want to believe that, you know, I want to have faith in our president, that our country voted in the best possible leader out of our options. But right now, if the first thing they deal with, first off, when Sean Spicer comes out there and the first thing they're concerned about is the size of the attendance at his inauguration being lied about, first off, who cares, right?
Right.
Because you know what? Nobody talks about Obama's legacy going, oh man, he had so many people show up for his inauguration. He must be really great. No. You know what? You could have zero people show up for your inauguration, and if you go and become the best president ever, people are going to talk about it. If you go and make real change happen, and that's all I want to see. And, like, Rashad, you watched that Trump interview last night where he's talking about, like, you know, things to come. He's not really, like, hinting at, oh, we're going to release a statement for that. And things are changing, and it doesn't make me feel very confident. And this is a very – I wanted to feel confident. I wanted to come right in here and be like, okay, I feel better about the way this country's going, but I'm just not sure, and that scares me.
Yeah. I would like to add something. I went onto Urban Dictionary and found the definition for alternative facts.
Oh, let's hear it.
When truth is so unfavorable to a pathological liar that they must invent a whole new category of lies to describe their nakedly intentional acts of deception.
You know what? That's very accurate.
That's a pretty good definition.
Yeah. See, I am very skeptical of just government bodies in general.
That does not surprise me about you,
Mike.
Not
at all. Amount of trust. I just don't. I'm not a.
No, not really.
Are you more like a libertarian, or like you want like the least, like?
I don't want minimal government protection. I just am not like you. Like, I hope for the best, but I kind of expect things to not go my way.
So you have low expectations, where like my expectations are very high.
Yes, I'm prepared to be disappointed, and I didn't think it would be so bad that on day one we'd be making up new words for lies.
Oh, this is day six, by the way.
We're building the wall, baby.
Let's talk about day six. What Trump has accomplished in his 6 days in office?
A whole bunch of executive orders that are going to mess up.
Already, remember when they attacked Obama for the executive orders?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they did say that, like, Obama is setting a precedent that, like, the next president is going to use a bunch of executive orders.
I think it's fair in a time when, for some reason, we can't find bipartisanship.
Yeah.
That the president just needs to step up and say, let's do it. But Malik, like you said, let's talk about the stuff he's done, which we have the wall, which is going to be built, and Mexico's going to reimburse us, even though they said that.
According to Trump, Mexico's going to reimburse us, even though the president has said
he made a video this morning that he wasn't going to reimburse
us. He made it very clear on three separate times that he's not going to reimburse
us. Unless he's got some dirt on the Mexican government, like, I don't see this happening.
Yeah, I mean, like,
we're going to pay for it, it's going to be miserable, and it's going to... I read a report that Trump might increase the debt by like $17 billion
those were estimations. Huh?
Oh my gosh.
So we're going to be in debt. We're going to have a wall that's already paid for.
Yeah. Oh, that's a subjective thing, is debts. Like, nobody ever takes into account how much America is owed. Only look at how much, like, looking at the national debt, that's just what we owe. It's not, doesn't take into account what we are owed.
Yeah, because we are owed a lot.
A lot, a lot. There are multiple countries all over the world that just from, like, receiving services from our military.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
You know, and I'm really glad you pointed that out, because there are so many aspects of politics that people just look at this one big thing. And, you know, people can go Google the national debt. and you'll see this huge number. And you're right. And people ignore the fact that, you know, we are owed money too. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Mike.
Yeah, it's just like there's just so much stuff people don't think about that you don't realize has a huge impact.
Yeah.
But it ends up being really important. Like our the one thing I'm really passionate about is our national park services, which Trump has already managed to run afoul.
Block them from using Twitter.
Which they didn't follow anyways. Badlands National Park, whoever was running their Twitter.
What is he going to do, shut down the national parks? Like,
you'd be surprised. Like, with, I'm very worried about, this isn't just a Trump thing, this is just government in general. Like, the encroachment on national parks, I feels like it's going to start increasing soon. And I'm, like, a huge proponent for, like, preserve this part of nature. Like, this is America at its purest form.
And it's something that, like, you know, as much as the times will change, you know, everything else will stay, that'll stay the same.
Yeah, it's just a really important part to me of, like, there's, like, this whole, like, oh, America needs to be great. It's, like, it can be great, and, like, there's nothing to make great about it. Just go see what we still have. Like, there's things, like, just go somewhere. Go outside. Look at some nice rocks or something.
Right.
It's
and
great.
I think what's really interesting is that America does still have those things. Because if you go to England, there's none of that.
Yeah, there's nowhere. Like, it's all cities.
You don't have a Yosemite Park because basically there's too many people in England. They don't have enough space.
Yeah, so they had to get rid of it too. So,
yeah,
and then you can go some places in America. Like here in Pennsylvania, if you drive
Pennsylvania has a lot of wildlife.
60 miles east. You get into counties that have more deer than people.
Yeah.
Which is cool, though, because for some places, like, we're right, you know, we're built right into Pittsburgh here.
Yeah.
And so to go out and see that kind of different side of it is cool, because you can get a little bit of everything. That's what makes America great, I think, is, like, the variety of places you can go and the different cultures.
Also, we're going to go back to what makes America great and Trump. He's also cut funding to the arts, which
It's like
upsets me because, like, the arts are important. Like, we should absolutely be funding arts. Like, music, paintings, things like theater. Those are the things that people are going to look at thousands of years from now, and they're going to be like, wow, this is what a life was like under President Trump.
That's so how, like, I feel about history.
Yeah.
And it is. Art really is an important aspect of history. And if you are limiting it, you are really taking away a part of our history.
And at the same time, what else? Space. I think we should definitely be, like, science. I think sciences are super important, and we should definitely be, like, putting more money into NASA. I think we could absolutely have a colony on Mars if we wanted to right now. It just comes down with the dedication to sit down and say, we're going to take a few million dollars away from something else, and we're going to put it towards space. We're going to teach everyone how to, you know, code. We're going to teach everyone how to do the things that they need to do so that we grow up in an environment where getting to Mars is a thing. Because at some point, like, I would love to see a Mars colony by the time I die. And I think there are definitely private companies that are, like, doing it. I know my favorite Elon company Musk. Of all time, Tesla.
Yeah.
They're gonna do it at some point.
Yeah.
But, like, I think it shouldn't be just Elon Musk. It should be the whole country that's, like,
It's
ready,
like,
to go to space.
We used to be so, like, ready to go engineering. Like, what happened to, like, the kids that would build models of, like, these great pieces of engineering?
The dreamers.
Like, ships.
The people that, like, aspired to these great, incredible things.
Like, the crazy stuff that Americans used to make, like that SR, I don't know how much you guys know about military history here. I'm going to get into my nerdy side here again.
All right,
like,
let's do it.
Like, the SR-71 Blackbird is a miracle. It was the fastest thing ever to be in the skies. It's still ridiculously fast. And it's like, that America made that.
Yeah.
That was American scientists and American pilots that made the fastest thing in the world. And what happened to that fascination with that?
Yeah, and once again, you know, it's always easier to look back at the past and say, wow, that was really great, rather than look at what you have right now and really appreciate it. Because usually you don't appreciate what you have till it's gone. So I really do want to, like, say, hey, I'd like to think that we're continuing to get greater, that I want to say that my generation is the greatest generation so far, because I want it. But when you look at the values and the way the values have changed. And you're right, the way, you know, we look at the way we do things. I think that there is, I think there is a change that needs to happen. And it's so hard. You know what bothers me is social media. When I go on Facebook and you see people arguing about
just politics, fighting about the dumbest stuff.
And no offense, but nobody's going to read your Facebook post and go, yeah, that changed my life. I'm going to change the way I view things. Like, go out and be active in, you know, I don't care. You know what? I really liked that Women's March because of the fact that it wasn't just people talking about it online and posting and sharing stuff. It was millions of people, I mean, all over the country, coming out and making a statement. And it's something that, I mean, it was greater than just social media. Granted, social media was a huge part of it because it made it happen. Yeah. But it became greater than that. And I think that's what America is capable of, as you could see in that march. And I want to see more things like that because that speaks.
I'm huge, huge fan of the Women's March. Whether you agree or disagree with what they were marching, I think the idea of people going out and doing what they should, like protesting and saying this isn't right and we want it to change, and we're going to stand in front of, we're going to like block DC. There were enough people in DC where like you could not, you couldn't drive at all. The streets were filled with people.
You can't drive in DC in the first place. Yeah. I don't know if you guys have tried that.
But yeah, Malik, it takes a lot more courage to go out and actually make that change happen and to make those statements than to sit behind a computer screen.
Yeah, and the fact that so many people actually got out there and stood up for what they believed in, I think it's irrelevant. I put a post up on social media. It was like, I'm really proud of the people that got up and, said what was on their mind and marched for what they believed in. And it was amazing to see how many people came together and did this.
And you know what? It brings the conversation to the forefront is what it does.
Yeah.
And I mean, I agree with it. I was fully supportive of this march, but even people that may have disagreed with its values can't ignore, you know, that it did start that conversation.
Yeah, and right.
That
it happened.
And you know, if you're President Trump, you had to notice it too. And it's making a statement that he hopefully has to change his ways if he wants to, you know, garner the support of the American people. And that's really the job of the president, is he should, you know, adapt and adjust and do what's best for the country.
Yep. All right, so we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, Rashad, your topic is the last topic. Give us a little tease.
Just stay tuned and you'll find out.
He's not sure. All right,
so Rashad will hopefully figure out a topic over the break.
Don't put me out there like that. Come on, man.
It's fine. We do it all the time here.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
All right. And welcome back to RMU Chat. My name is Malik Johnson. Here with me, we have Sam the Man Anthony, Mike Evans, Rashad. And also, we have Avon, who has no headphone and is going to share a mic with Rashad.
Hey, what's up,
this guys? Will go well.
Yeah, but Rashad, hey. Your topic, you just let us know what it is. Explain it to the peoples.
All right, so I had a realization after watching our latest episode of Sports Talk in the Berg, which you can catch on Tuesdays on RMU TV on Facebook and
shameless
YouTube.
Shameless plug.
Shameless, very, very shameless life? Plug. But I realized after watching it and going through and actually seeing how I was doing, I realized I was way more comfortable on air. And the fact that I was laughing so much during that show made me realize this is what I wanted to do in life. You know, this is like after college, I have no more doubts anymore. Like when I first got here, I thought it would be all radio. Then I started doing TV stuff and realized then, okay, this is way more fun than radio. Then I started having lots more fun doing shows. Even the writing and the prep for the show.
Prep night is the best.
Prep night is fun. And our producers make it fun. Even though we're tons of work in there, it's still amazing to do. So I wanted to ask you guys, what's the one thing you find you have the most fun doing?
All right, I'm going to let Malik Johnson go first. I really want to hear his aspirations.
Aspiration-wise, I want to be a reporter. That's what I came here to do.
Yeah.
I think after that, though, I think I was talking about this with Sam and Avon in the car on the way back from B-dubs. I would love to be a producer. I think that's one thing that I never thought that I would ever want to do. I never considered working in TV. When I came here, writing and radio had all I had ever done. But being a producer, I think Friday Army Lives, it's super stressful. I'm running around. It's taking years off my life, but I love it. I love every moment that I lose.
That's an interesting way to look at it.
I'm graying. My hairs are graying, but I look good in gray hair, so
I can't tell because you always have that hat on.
Exactly. That's also part of the strategy.
Let it be known to the public that Malik Johnson always wears a hat, no matter what.
Yep.
Same hat.
He wears it to sleep.
I work out. I do not wear it to sleep.
Yeah, he did. He went to the gym yesterday
I worked out
in his
hat.
Oh, yep. I did not know that.
Yep.
Okay.
I didn't know that was weird. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to work out in a hat.
No, that's fine. I've done it before.
I mean, is it uncomfortable?
Like, no. I barely notice it most
of
the time.
When you sweat, does it?
This thing is already just like
okay.
Probably the most disgusting swamp. Because I don't all take
right.
it off.
Like, I have 5 bands on my wrist right now, and they're just like a part of me. And I don't
yeah,
feel
I don't,
them anymore.
I don't ever. Recognize it. So
it's just like this is me now. You know?
All right. Yep. All right, Sam. What
Sam,
are your aspirations?
You're up next, all right. buddy.
So you know, you go into sport management, and the first day they go and they have everyone go around the room and they ask, "What do you want to do?" And almost every single person will tell you they want to be a general manager. And right off the bat, they try to kind of be like, "Hey, look, that's probably not going to happen." Mm-hmm. So you should go into sales. And like I don't want to do that.
Right.
My dream will forever and continue to stay to be a baseball general manager. I want to be the next Theo Epstein. I want to break the next curse, the next Chicago Cubs drought. I want to, you know, I want to change the game of baseball. I have these big aspirations. So I spend my time when I'm not producing TV shows or editing the sports section. Writing about baseball statistics and reading about baseball statistics. When I walk to class, I listen to audiobooks because I'm a giant baseball nerd.
That's fine.
But the way I see it is I have to consume as much knowledge and as much information as I can, because the only way I'm going to be the best is if I'm smarter than everybody else and I know more than everybody else, that's which true. Means, you know, trying to consume everything that's already been figured out since about 1986 and continue with it as it continues to develop. That's my dream.
So like, okay, so I can imagine that being a baseball GM is going to be a lot of work on you. Like, I'm just curious what drew you to that.
You know what? Baseball has always been such a big part of my life, and it starts with that. I mean, I wanted to be a pro baseball player, but I'm not athletic.
It's okay.
So we moved on to baseball general manager, because I wanted to be, you know what? Some people just want to work in sports. They want to go into sales and say, "Hey, like I work for this team."
Right.
I want to say I have control.
This is my team. You know.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I had a hand in winning this championship.
Right.
Because to me, that's just I'm so competitive as a person, and so I have that. I just want to win, and to be, I'll say it a different way. like the I love what sports has done for me in my life and the values it's taught me.
Yeah.
And the values that it, you know, shows is, you know, with passion, hard work, anything's possible. You know, some of the greatest stories have come from sports. I relate really hard to Rudy. I connect on like a personal level with Rudy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think for what sports has done for me, if I could wake up every day and go to the ballpark as my office, that's the dream.
Yeah, I mean, sports is like, it's amazing. But before I go on to a whole nother life rant, Mike, you're up next.
All right, so you guys got some pretty big aspirations. Mine aren't quite as tall and maybe a little bit more dreamy. Like right now I'm here for software engineering, probably going to maybe move to computer information systems. But I like computers, yeah.
Avon is cheering in the background.
It's like I like to mess with computers and stuff. Like IT, whatever. I'd take an IT job in a heartbeat. Like most people are like, oh, I hate helping people with computers. It's like, I love it. But if I could do
you can work for RMU's IT department.
Yeah.
At Dylan McKenna.
Shout out Dylan McKenna.
Yeah, but if I could do one thing, man, I like taking pictures. I'm not great at it, but I'd love to be like a professional landscape photographer. Go, like I said, national parks, just go all kinds of cool places all around the world.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
I feel like that'd be a lot of fun.
Dig that, Mike. Yeah. I like that.
Mike, the photographer.
Yeah, that's a very different goal. I've never heard that one before.
You said it wasn't like a tall order, but that's a pretty like legit thing to like want.
A landscape photographer or computers, like I mean, those
and
are...
like think about yeah. I mean, you get to go see some incredible sights if you're doing a landscape photographer.
I like the outdoors.
Avon, we're gonna toss
passing off my mic.
Avon's dreams. I'm very excited for this.
Oh yeah.
So like, actually, my dream is actually weird. Like back like, I would say 2007. My dad brought home like the first computer. Oh wait. We good? Yes. All right. So my dad brought home the first computer in our very own house before he moved away for his business in like 2009. All right. So he left me with this computer, like a very beat up monitor. And I just look at it. I was like, I wonder what I could do with that. Literally, I took it apart, put it back together.
In 2007 you did this?
Yeah, in 2007.
I can't do that in 2017.
I can't do that ever.
Like my key. Like,
that would have made you like 8 years old.
Yeah. I would say A. Like,
yeah?
A, yeah.
Yeah, man. Because you're 18 right now?
Yeah, 18.
Yeah, you're about 8 or 9.
So I've torn it apart, put it back together, and go inside the software of it. And I remember the dial-up we have. Like, we still had dial-up, like,
when we got up.
Dial-up.
Oh, man. We going to AOL. It was just, like, amazing.
Man.
The little triple, the Incon, the, what was it, the World, and then the little AIM guy. And then I think the mail, I forgot. It's been such a long time. But, like, ever since I touched that computer, like, I always want to do something with computer, but I don't know what. All the way until, like, high school, like, I'm thinking, like, I was torn between hardware engineer and software engineer. And because I have no clue which one I dedicated more to. And then when I come to college, they put me in CIS just to see how it is. And to be honest, I really like this field so far. And plus, I might... like do something in TV production that I never even realized.
Yeah, I want to ask both you and Mike a question. What drew you guys to Century and like why did you stick? Because we have a lot of people that come here and they're like, hey, this isn't for me. I'll see you in the hallway somewhere. But you guys both work with computers. You guys both help the tech side of it.
I don't know about Avon, but in my high school, even though we had terrible sports teams, I did stuff for TV and digital communications there. And I was like, I'll go take pictures, I'll work on graphics, and I'll run cameras and stuff for TV. And like, I came in and it was even more fun than I had in high school when I met like all you cool guys. And Aww. Then it's just like, well, I mean, now I got somewhere to be. Like this is,
that's fair.
It's like, I say like it's something to do, but like it's something I want to do, which is not like, it's a good thing to find.
That's fair.
All right, so I stick around because I remember when I took a tour here, they took us to the control room. And I remember just looking at everything. I was like, I want to play with that switcher. I need to find a way to play with that switcher. And then when I joined RMU, Malik Frierson was my roommate, and he does Century. And I literally asked
Friend of the show, Philly.
Mm-hmm. I literally asked him, I was like, hey, do you need any help with tech side of the RMU, everything? He's like, I think we do. So I came in like the second week meeting of the last semester. And we saw Eddie, and he showed me to Dylan. And that point on, it just stuck to me. Like, once I met Dylan, I think it just stuck to me.
That was pretty much my thing, too. Like, I met, it might have been Dylan, too, and he was like, hey, you like TV stuff and, like, computer science? Mm-hmm. Come check out Century, and that's...
Yeah, dude.
Because he shows so much knowledge out of it, and, like...
Dylan's awesome.
Exactly, and I just want to keep going with it.
And you guys are that next generation, guys, because he's on his way out, because he's got a real job now. He works for the school.
Yeah.
And so we got to have you guys come in and pick up the slack. Avon's already in as an editor. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, he gives us our analytics week.
Avon's the analytics guy.
So, you know what? I want Avon to tell a story because I think this will give our listeners. Do we have time for a quick story?
We have 2 minutes.
All right, cool. Okay. This is the kind of person that tells me, like, that Avon's going to be really good at this. Tell them about the clock in high school.
All right. So, the clock in high school, what happened? I was in my computer science class, all right? And we were lining up for some reason, and a clock fell out of the wall. All right, it's just like a analog clock that like all the clock have. Like we had like one system clock that just go along the way. All right, so like when the clock fell off the wall, because that school's like 50 years old, it's bound to happen. Clock fell off the wall and it hit the floor basically, and then. It's still intact and everything. The problem is like the power is not getting power. It's a dummy, pretty much. And my computer science teacher about to throw it away. He's like, anyone want this clock? And I took it in a heartbeat. So I took the clock home. I fixed it up to make it like work my own clock. So I did all the wiring in there, the soldering, and it took me like at least 2 weeks in order to find out how to work everything out. And now that clock is chilling in my room. Taking away, it's just beautiful.
Let's be clear, he did this for fun.
Yeah, I did it completely for fun.
All right,
amazing.
All right, guys, we're gonna start to wrap it up. Thank you for tuning in to RMU Chat, the premier talk show on RMU Radio, your campus, your voice. Be sure to find us. Be sure to tune in again next week, same time, same place.
Bye, guys.
See you.